From KCUR, I'm Steve Kraske, and this is Up to Date. If you want to stir the pot of controversy, adding a dash of race and a pinch of politics is a sure way to spice up the conversation. This hour we'll discuss how President Obama seems to straddle both political and racial divides. We'll talk about why understanding that tension is crucial to navigating the fractious issues that dominate today's legislative landscape. We'll also examine how the history of the civil rights movement is still influencing the president and the political scene today. We'll get you up to date after this hour's news. Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. The story of Barack Obama and race is a story of a young man who eventually chose reconciliation over confrontation. Our guest today says it's that template that has colored the president's approach to a whole host of issues, including how he's approaching the current government shutdown now in its second week. When it comes to race, Obama has stepped nimbly both during his campaign and now as the nation's first African-American president. In theory, you might not think it would be that way. We're about to find out why that is. But first today, Congressman Emanuel Cleaver joins us from Washington to give us an update on the shutdown and the debt ceiling crisis. Congressman will be joining us in just a moment from Washington. So many issues out in D.C. right now between the shutdown and the debt ceiling crisis. We hope to have Congressman Cleaver with us in just a second, and he's with us right now. Congressman, thanks for bailing me out. I'm glad you're with us. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
Okay, I wonder if you can just give us a quick update, Congressman, as to where we stand with the whole government shutdown, the negotiations, the conversations between the president and the speaker, and also the impending debt ceiling crisis. Where are we this morning, as far as you know?
Well, the president did call the speaker at week's end and told him that he would like for a clean CR, continuing resolution, to be put on the table.
Right.
And the president said, I'm willing to do that and talk to you about other things, you know, after we take care of the critical business facing the country so that we can bring all these people back to work. And the speaker said, well, I have some issues that I want to negotiate. And the president said, you can't negotiate. He's not going to negotiate on paying the workers and the federal government and opening all of the federal facilities.
Hey, explain to us, Congressman, why won't the president negotiate on that point? Because obviously the question of negotiating or not negotiating is at the core of what this crisis is all about right now.
Well, because the president believes that we can pass a continuing resolution and negotiate at a later date. But he also realizes that if you start negotiating on something like a continuing resolution, then we'll never get anything done because we'll always be in negotiations about something, and negotiations cause tension to rise. Now, what I want to make sure is understood, the House passed a budget, and the Senate passed a budget. Under normal circumstances, and these are not normal times, and I hope that people understand that, the House and the Senate would appoint conferees. They'd sit down and wrangle with those the differences and come up with a budget. So the House has approved a budget. The Senate approved a budget. Senator Harry Reid sent over to the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, a letter 18 times asking for conferees to be appointed so that we could wrangle, and the Speaker wouldn't do it. And so we could have had a negotiation on a budget, on a fiscal year budget. And so the president realizes that negotiations must not be the issue because we've been asking for negotiations since March.
But all this is, Congressman Cleaver, all this is such a tangled web for so many of our listeners out there. I mean, you're saying that Boehner won't negotiate on the budget. Boehner's saying the president won't negotiate on the continuing resolution. You know, there's a new poll out today from, I believe it's from the Associated Press, showing that Congress now has a 5% approval rating. 5%. And I think it's because of all this sort of finger-pointing going on. People are confused. They don't understand why you all can't figure this out. And they don't really care, you know, who's responsible for what. They want the government to reopen right now.
And I agree. And I question the sanity of the 5%. Who somehow believes that things are okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree that with you because I do think that is the sentiment of most of the people in the country. It is not the opinion, however, of a small group of people who put Tea Party members over in the House who don't believe in government. Grover Norquist, to whom they may have made these great pledges, was clear. He said, I want government reduced to a point that it can be drowned in a bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a lot of people, shutting down the government is not a problem. It is what they want, which is non-government.
You know,
so I agree that it looks bad. And I, keep in mind that the negotiations are done by at most five people.
Mm-hmm.
And Emanuel Cleaver is not among them, and I know most people think all of us are sitting around tables doing that. That's not the way it works.
You're waiting for your marching orders from your leader in the House, Nancy Pelosi, and trying to find out what's going on at a higher level then.
Yes, like everybody else. That's how it works. It's worked that way for, 150 years at least. But keep in mind that the president has always been willing to negotiate to the chagrin of the Democrats, not only in Congress but around the country. He has always been willing to negotiate. He's been so willing to negotiate that there are times when he's actually negotiated against himself.
Yeah.
And for anybody to believe that the president won't negotiate, it's unreasonable. He's saying, I'm not going to negotiate on things that like paying the bills of the federal government.
Right.
That's not a point to negotiate.
We're visiting with Congressman Emanuel Cleaver, a Democrat from Kansas City. You know, Congressman, explain to us a little bit. You said a few minutes ago that a small group in the House is sort of holding up progress, at least from your vantage point, in the U.S. House of Representatives. How can it be that in a 435-member body that one small group appears to have so much authority, so much clout, as you guys try to work out this government shutdown right now?
Well, there are about 80 people who are aligned with whatever we can define as the Tea Party. And they sent, I think 80 of them, signed a letter, sent it to John Boehner, saying that they didn't want the debt ceiling raised, nor the continuing resolution, nor the budget, unless the president would agree to dismember the Affordable Care Act. And I should have said that earlier when you asked the question. The president is not going to negotiate on a law. It's not a bill. When you hear people on TV and radio, quite often they'll say the health care bill. There is no health care bill. There's a health care law that mm-hmm. has been upheld by the Supreme Court across the street from us. And so they are saying, nothing will happen. Now, many of us, probably me more than most, are in communication with the other side. And I have had people, and I can, my staff can confirm this, non-publicly, who've called me or in many instances came by my office and said, look, we need to get out of this. And one person said to me the other day, will you set up a meeting with Steny Hoyer? I'm in Steny Hoyer's office right now, incidentally,
mm-hmm.
Who is the Democratic whip. And, because I want to talk to him. We got to get out of this. The people who talked to me didn't sign the 80-signature document, but they are afraid to come out publicly. How do I know? Because they're telling us.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, and some of the names you'd recognize, they're saying, look, if I go against the 80, I'm going to be primaried back home, and I'll lose my seat. And, you know, we've been trying to pump them up. Now, about 25 of them, I think, came out and said they're willing to stand up publicly and be with us. I'd say there are probably another 45 to 50 who are saying it privately.
Mm-hmm.
But they'd lose their seat. Are they going to have a primary?
Congressman Cleaver, just a couple minutes left here. I just want to get to a couple of quick points here. A lot of concern across the country this morning that if Congress can't raise the debt ceiling, that this economic catastrophe will ensue. Do you buy that thinking? Because the New York Times has a story out today saying that a broad section of the Republican Party is now saying they're not sure they're quite buying that idea that an economic calamity ensues if the debt ceiling is not raised. Where are you on that question?
Well, it will be a cataclysm, Steve, an economic cataclysm. I'm not, my degree is in sociology and theology, but I just left a meeting with the chief economist for Standard & Poor's, Beth Ann Bovino, and she says that if this happens, all bets are off, that we're going to see the stock market almost crash, and we are listening to people or some people are on the Republican side and are good and decent people, but they are just saying, you know, they don't believe it. If you push them, as I saw a reporter push one of them yesterday on TV, they don't base it on anything.
Right.
You know, they're just saying, you know, well, people lie to us all the time. But this is not my interpretation. This is an interpretation of just about every economist in the country.
Congressman, just one final question then. Based on what you're seeing and hearing in Washington right now, do you anticipate that the government shutdown will end this week, or do you anticipate it going into next week the way things stand right now?
I can't imagine us doing anything this week, and of course we have until the 17th when we've been told by the Secretary of the Treasury that there's no money to pay the bills. We have about $40 billion right now. We are required to pay bills at about $60 billion a day.
Right.
And so we're running out of money.
So you're saying we're going to go right down to the final minutes, the way this thing goes, October 17th next week. You think we're going right down to the wire?
I think we're going down to the wire.
Wow.
And John Boehner is going to, I mean, he holds everything in his hands. Because even if we go down to the wire, keep in mind that we are still losing economically because we are shaving. We've already shaved about 30 basis points. Which is 0.3 percentage points off the real GDP.
Yeah.
Each week that this thing drags on.
Congressman Cleaver, it's always a pleasure to have you. I appreciate you giving us an update, and based on what you're hearing out in Washington, D.C., we sure appreciate it.
Good to talk with you.
That's Missouri Congressman Emanuel Cleaver from Missouri's 5th District.